You're listening to the Punk News Podcast for the week of February 4th, 2014. Not 13, like the early recording said. 14.
You got it.
Hello and welcome to the Punk News Podcast. My name is Adam White. I'm recording for you in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Joining me on tonight's show are two people who I assume are not completely buried in snow tonight. In Southern California, Mr. Armando Olivas. Hey.
Hello. What's up?
Where in California are you?
An hour east of LA. If I actually give people the name, they won't even know where to look.
So you're not buried in snow?
Oh, hell no, dude. It looks beautiful outside right now.
Snow can be beautiful.
Not as beautiful as sunshine.
Mm. Well, speaking of sunshine, we have the sunshine of the Punk News universe with us tonight. In, I assume, Florida, but maybe not, because I don't really track him. Mr. Chris Farron of Fake Problems.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're in Florida?
I'm in Florida. I am in the Sunshine State, Florida.
Did you have anything to do with that giant snake that they found?
My snake, yeah, it got loose and they found it. I actually don't even know what you're talking about. What happened?
It was in the news. It was, let me see. I don't know where anything is in Florida. A rural section of southwest Miami-Dade, they caught an 18-foot Burmese python.
Wow. I feel like that happens just pretty much all the time in Florida, though. If not a snake, an alligator or some sort of creepy reptile.
That's the only news that we get outside of Florida, unless there's been some sort of election related catastrophe.
Yeah, or terrible murder.
Yeah, that and snakes. So. Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, things happened this week, so we're gonna try talking about them. I think that, like, before we do, we should probably talk about what people really want to hear about, which is your new career as, like, the internet's haberdasher. I don't even know if that's the right term. I just wanted to
I think that makes that means hat maker.
Does it?
Yeah. I would call him the Punk News scrinted screen printed t-shirt connoisseur / merch man to the stars.
To the stars, yeah. As long as it has "to the stars" on it, I'll take it.
So, do you want to tell people what happened and how this has affected your life?
Yeah, sure. I made a shirt. Okay, so a few months ago, I made a tweet that just said "The Smiths," and then I put a picture of Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, Jaden, and Willow. And I just thought that was like just a funny tweet. And then I was like, I should just make shirts of this. And so I made 30 shirts, and I put them. I made like an online web store. And I just put them for sale, and they sold out like within an hour. They were all gone, and I was like, okay, that was it. That's fine. I'm satisfied with that. And then the next day, my Twitter like exploded. I guess somebody uploaded the picture of me wearing the shirt to Reddit, and it basically went viral. I went viral. It was like a actual thing that happened. And so then I sold like, you know, more than 30 after that, a great deal more than 30. So
35?
Yep, 35 more. So it's been pretty cool. And yeah, so I'm trying to think of another idea. My only other idea that I've had so far is just, and there's no way it's going to sell that many. I'm just going to make 30 again. And it's just a picture. It's the picture of me wearing the Smiths shirt on a shirt. Laid out the same way the Smith shirt was. So we'll see.
It's a Smith shirt.
It's a kind of an inception.
Shirtception. I like it.
Yeah.
it was weird when the pictures started going viral, because I think I saw it pop up randomly on Reddit, and someone had said it was on BuzzFeed or one of those sites.
Yeah, it was on BuzzFeed.
And it's you wearing the shirt. So
yeah.
It's not like just like some guy got the shirt and that's what went, like, it's you. And yeah. I feel like I read more than one comment about like who is this hipster with his
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess
I'll take it. I don't mind being called a hipster. I can handle that.
They're just mad at you and your wads of cash.
Yep, I'm just the richest man in the world now.
As far as punk is concerned, well, you might have to contend with Fat Mike, but other than that, you're kind of top dog.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
But no, it's funny how crazy that shirt blew up, because I saw people who had never heard of Fake Problems that like I was friends with. I even had like family in Mexico like posting this shirt, and I was like, you do know I know that guy, right? And they're like, what? And then it was really funny.
Yeah, Morrissey's huge in Mexico, huh?
He's huge with the Mexican population, no matter where we are.
No matter where we are, cool.
Yeah, we're all over the place, man. And I don't know what the appeal is, because, you know, like, he doesn't seem to be very religious, and the Catholics love him, and, you know.
Do you like him?
I like Morrissey. I think his T-shirt thing is a little much, but I like him. Yeah. I'm vegan. I kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
it's like I think it's mandated by law. You know, oh, you're vegan, you have to like Morrissey. It's like, I'm vegan and I'm Mexican, so not only do I have to like Morrissey, but I have to have like an altar to him in my living room.
Oh, that explains the altar.
I was gonna say that Morrissey probably doesn't like you because you're American, but you're okay. If you can play the Mexican card, then you can probably get by that. Morrissey might like you.
Yeah, I think Morrissey likes me because I'm Mexican. And my name's Armando, and I'm vegan, and I saw him at Coachella once. They told me, like, oh, Armando, I don't hate you. I'm going to cry in some money.
Sounds like Dr. Evil, huh?
Yeah, he's totally Dr. Evil. I feel like that's his alter ego, is he just kind of puts on a bald cap and tries to figure out how to destroy the world for money. But, we talked about the T-shirt empire. What else is going on in the world of Mr. Farron?
Well, let's see. We're finishing recording a bunch of songs that we have been recording for seemingly forever. We started this past summer in L.A. or August, September in L.A. and and then we had to leave L.A. to go home, and Sean got married, and we had to just do a bunch of normal people stuff. So next week I'm going into a studio in nearby Naples and finishing up what we need to finish up. And then we're going to get it mixed and mastered, and then trying to figure out what we're going to do with it. I'm not sure we're going to put it out as a record. We might do like a few EPs or something. That kind of is still all like in the works. And other than that, I'm playing like a few acoustic shows. I'm opening for Into It Over It for a Florida show. I don't know if I can promote another podcast. I'm going to be on that Going Off Track podcast. They're doing like a live, episode in New York, and it's me, Janine Garofalo, and SNL's, Vanessa Bayer. So that'll be cool. And I'm playing some songs at that. So yeah,
that's really cool. You get to hang out with Janine Garofalo.
Yeah. And when I'm in New York, Jeff Rosenstock and I, we're going to record like an EP or something together and just put it out.
That's amazing.
See that is awesome. Is it going to be like more like a split? Are you guys just going to collab on each song? Do you not even know yet? Can you not share? Like, you have to give us the scoop now.
I think the deal, I just sent him like a bunch of demos of that I made on my computer, and we're just going to kind of go all in on them and try to, you know, make something cool.
Can we tell people about this? Because, I mean, like, you said it on the show, so you can't, like, unsay it, but it seems newsy to me.
It does seem kind of newsy. I don't want to blow up. Oh, man. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
That's okay. No one actually listens to this show, so we just won't make a big deal about it.
when we're ready to, like, officially announce it, I'll definitely let you guys know.
All right. Well, let's jump into a few stories, and I want to come back to a few things on your end. I mean, we have to at least make mention of the Chris Farron Super Bowl tweet, and you know, I want you to talk a little bit about the What's the Ruckus stuff that you've been doing, because that's been really neat. So we'll come back to that before the break.
Cool.
So all right, we're gonna jump into a few stories that happened over the past week that people seem to talk about. The first one is, I guess, the reoccurring theme on this show, and that is that there is more turmoil in the ever tumultuous Black Flag turmoil pile.
I know.
Dave Klein has left the band. So following the departure of Ron Reese and the current incarnation of Black Flag, Dave Klein, who also plays in Screeching Weasel, has announced via his Facebook, that he has left the band. So he said, to avoid more private messages after today's news of the out of the official Black Flag camp, I guess I should officially, and he said that's a pun, say that I am no longer playing with Black Flag. I suppose the following post from last month wasn't exactly clear. Now go listen to They Stay Dead and Screeching Weasel. See you soon at a show near you. So Dave Klein is out. Now he left the band, or at least he's implying that he left the band before they got their new singer, who is skateboarder Mike Valley or Valley. What is it here? Mike
V. It's Valley.
Yeah. It's Valley. There's an extra E in there. I want to add like another syllable somewhere.
I thought that was an extra L too.
Valelily. so yeah, Mike V is the band's new singer. So he is not, I guess, a bandmate of Dave Klein at any given time then. So, and there you go. So the current incarnation of Black Flag's lineup is Greg Ginn, drummer Gregory Moore, Mike V, as we said, and presumably the veteran bassist Dale Nixon. So that is your Black Flag. Dave Klein is out. He is likely doing stuff with Screeching Weasel and They Stay Dead. So there you go. More Black Flag chaos.
How terrible of a band must Black Flag be to be in that you quit Black Flag and you're still in Screeching Weasel? That must be like, wow, it must be a pretty miserable time.
Yeah, well, people have been saying that, and I definitely agree. It's like, because Ben Weasel himself is a very big, curmudgeon, very kind of angry, volatile guy. I mean, like, he had his whole band quit on him at one point. So for that to happen, but for you to, like, still stay in that atmosphere but not be able to tolerate Black Flag, it's like, what's going on there? Like, it's got to be horrible.
Yeah.
The one thing, and John Gentile pointed this out on Punk News, is that the lineup to this band is the exact same as the lineup for Good For You, which is Mike V and Greg Ginn's other band. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's like everyone who was, there was the Venn diagram with that and like modern day Black Flag, and now those circles have merged. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they're even bothering. Like, why isn't it just like Good For You plays Black Flag songs?
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I don't know.
I think Black Flag looks better on a marquee. Yeah.
Yeah. No one cares about Good For You. I mean, like the actual interest in Good For You is so low that the only tour they've gone on is opening up for Black Flag. I mean, that lets you know. I mean, I'll talk as much garbage as I want. I don't care. You guys can stay quiet. I'm the stone cold of the podcast. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah. I don't think we're at any risk of offending Greg Ginn.
Plus the Punk News podcast, or not, what is the Punk News commenters already hate me after that Diamond Youth interview.
Wow, what did you do? I missed it.
You it's still up there if you but essentially I think the last couple lines were me and one of the guys in Diamond Youth just talking trash on the Punk News commenters, and I said I said something along the lines of, it happens. All of our commenters tend to be haters who are salty as fuck, and so now that's, I guess, becoming a thing.
And,
salty. They're haters, salty as fuck. Not salty as a pretzel, not salty as movie theater popcorn, salty as fuck. That is the ultimate level of salty. Like, like popcorn and pretzels seek out you. But, yeah, so...
You offended people by calling them salty?
Yeah.
Well, that's easily offended. That doesn't seem that bad.
Well, I called them haters, and I told them... I think I called them douchebags a couple times before that, but that was, like, the line they tend to cling on, kind of like the sandwiches and you're breaking up and stuff. That's, like, their line for, I guess, in regards to me, which
you,
I don't
you,
care.
You just wanted a little Punk News meme of your own that you could claim.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't had one before.
Well, congratulations. Welcome to the club. So, other stuff that's going on this week. So, in one of their first U.S. interviews since being released from prison in December, Pussy Riot sat down for an interview with Stephen Colbert on The Colbert Report. The band is promoting their Amnesty International-sponsored performance, which happened on Wednesday, which is today. Look at that. Okay. In Brooklyn at Barclays Center. So, Pussy Riot are playing, I guess, as we record this in Brooklyn, and they were on the Colbert Report. So you can find video of this easily on Punk News if you're in the United States. You have to jump through hoops if you want to watch it in Canada. Did you guys did you see any of this at all? Do you?
I watched it. I thought it was awesome. It was. I mean, I love Stephen Colbert, and I think he did a great job interviewing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it bookmarked, but I haven't seen it yet. But apparently, someone, I think, probably put the comment and nailed it right on the head, was, for people who have been in prison, they sure do seem very happy.
Well, they're out of prison.
But, I mean, you know, I feel like, because someone was saying that they were talking about the situation, like, with such, like, lightheartedness, you know.
They seem so badass, is what they seem. Yeah. They were like, arrest me again, send me back to jail, we don't care. They were like, I don't care, whatever. Screw you, Vladimir Putin. It was almost the punkest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, there is some definite like scowl that they had going on as they were listening to some of the comments, and like they were super witty about it, but like they had exactly what you said. Like they had that kind of like badass mean look to them.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I'm surprised that, like, with the translator between them, they were able to crack jokes back and forth, too. Because, like, there were, I would imagine there are things that Colbert said that the poor girl who was there that had to, like, translate it into Russian
couldn't
necessarily, like, do the same wordplay.
Yeah. But, and did you see at the very end when he addressed the camera and was like, Vladimir Putin, leave these girls alone? And then he put on one of the masks. It was like... I think it was like, you know, it was kind of like, it's a comedy show and everything, but it was like a pretty intense like statement to make that he put that mask on. It was like kind of like standing with them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it bears mentioning too that we're what, 2 days away from the Sochi opening ceremony, so
right,
you know, that's a pretty good platform for them to end up on. So
yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, you can find links to all that stuff on the org right now, or probably on Comedy Central. No, sorry, that's the Canadian station. What do you call it? Comedy Network.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Which is it? I don't know which. Oh, no, yours is Comedy Central. Sorry, yeah, I'm looking at the video. The video's like...
Comedy Central, you silly canic.
Well, see, when I look at the video from this vantage point, it sort of says, fuck you, for stupid copyright reasons, you have to go watch this video on the Comedy Network. But it doesn't actually, like... give you the link. It's just like, go find it.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's my problem, which is far more important than the actual content of the story. So the Lillingtons are headed out on a rare handful of shows. By handful, I mean three. They're gonna be playing in May leading up to an appearance at Pooza. So they're gonna be playing in Brooklyn on the 16th of May, Boston on the 17th, and Montreal in Quebec.
You're Canadian. How do you mess that up?
I don't know. You know what it is? I'm reading the list of things, and we abbreviate Quebec. Its abbreviation is QC. So my brain saw that and went Quebec City, but that's not what it is. They're in Montreal. It's a different place. So anyways, they're playing there on the 18th at Pooza. So they last released the Too Late show on Red Scare in 2006. And a lot of people were talking about this because they want to see the Lillingtons. And you can't for the most part unless you're in certain places at very specific times. So, yeah.
That's the guy. That's one of the guys from Teenage Bottle Rocket. Is that correct?
Yes.
You are.
Cool. That's my input. Just checking.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool if they were playing anywhere near me, which they're not. But if I live close or, you know, within driving distance, I would go. But since I don't, I will just watch YouTube videos the weekend after.
So I believe that I'm going to seg this into a discussion about Pooza anyways, because there's been a bunch of bands that were announced, and we didn't really post a story about it. well, we will by the time people read this, because I wrote it 10 minutes ago. But there's we've mentioned it in a bunch of various other stories that we've posted about the various specific bands that are in here. So the latest Pooza, I don't know, class has been announced, and these additions are pretty interesting to me. So along with the Lillingtons, what we just said, the Hold Steady are playing this.
Oh, wow.
And you want to talk about some really old classic Canadian bands that are playing this. SNFU is playing it. Dayglow Abortions is there.
Rush.
I don't know.
they're the secret headliner.
That would be something. I don't know. They have to like sneak the giant rotating drum kit set in there. I don't know. I don't know if you like, it's hard to sneak Neil Peart shit around because there's a lot of mechanics involved. So anyways, the Flatliners are playing, speaking of Canadians, and then a bunch of other bands have been announced. Two Cow Garage, Nightbirds, which I always want to scream their name for some reason. The So-So Glows, Hostage Calm, Enabler. So they're all playing this, and they join a whole bunch of other bands that we have previously talked about that are on here, like Mad Caddies, Dillinger Four, Reagan Youth, The Menzingers, Chicks Dig It, and tons of others. Ex-Friends, I don't know who else is on here.
It's a pretty fun list.
It's becoming a very interesting list. I mean, the one thing that I like about Pooza, I haven't been for a couple years, but when I was there, it was this mix of, like, you know, quote-unquote fest bands, and then there was a bunch of stuff that you would have really only seen at, like, a music festival in Quebec. Like, they were, you know, far more kind of like underground garagey acts that you know, clearly had like some resonance in, like, you know, the local scene in Montreal, but, you know, you would never see down at Fest or anything like that. So the mix was kind of interesting. And right. This year too, I mean, again, like you, stuff like SNFU and Dayglow Abortions are playing this, and yeah, it's a cool mix. I like it. I mean, I'm still just stoked that Chicks Dig It are playing, and that's really my whole motivation for getting up in the morning. So
how does Pooza work? Is it like the fest, basically?
Yeah, it's yes and no. It is kind of like a wristband deal where you can, you know, you basically roam around a city for 3 days and go to wherever you want to go or wait in whatever lines you want to wait in. But now this is probably a little bit wrong information, but when I was there a couple years ago, they tried to do something that was like a layer on top of that, where they said, you know what, if you can't do the whole weekend, but you really, really, really want to go see this one show, then you could buy a ticket for that one show. And that kind of like two levels of ticketing, at least that year, was a point of contention for people, because like wristband people ended up waiting in lines for things, and shows could sell out more because they were actually selling real tickets for them. And I think that last year they cleared that up somewhat, and this year it makes a lot more sense. But the year I was there, it was kind of awkward that the way that was set up, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really experience it because I had a god pass, so I just like wandered about.
Nice.
Like I was important.
A god pass. Did you walk on water?
I always, whenever I'm at one of these things and I have one of those, hey, you're from Punk News, and for some reason you get a press pass for this, things, it's like having like a cheat code in a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
It definitely is.
Which, like, I feel like a total dick sometimes because I'm like, I'm just going to walk in here. So, but I did that, and it was all right.
I don't care.
You're press, man.
I'm press. To be honest, it's not even that hard to become press. If they really want to get a press pass and have the same privileges, all you got to do is write some shit. It's not that hard. Trust me, I'm pretty horrible at it, and I do pretty well. I'm just saying. I've read my writing. I wouldn't even read it if I weren't me.
Hey, speaking of the Flatliners,
yeah,
I didn't. They got nominated for like a Juno.
Yeah,
a Juno, they did.
That's crazy.
That is pretty interesting up here.
I mean, it's like definitely deserved, but it's like, wow, I didn't like even think that punk bands got like recognized.
They're like in the heavy metal category.
Well, it's like it's the heavy everything.
It's a pretty rocking record, I'd have to say. It is. It's definitely their heaviest, right?
It's pretty heavy.
It was funny looking at the categories list, because I was making the Juno article that we've yet to post, because I'm slow with things, and I was going through and picking out all the bands that were, you know, mentionable on Punk News that were in the nominees list, and it was one of those things where, like, the nominees for, like, the best heavy record was, like, number 30 in the list of things that were nominated. Like, you had to really get to, like, page 10 to get that. But yeah, I mean, I'm super stoked for it, and that's amazing. There's other bands that are nominated for various things as well that I don't know, I like a lot, that I'm kind of excited. There's bands like the Sadies that are nominated for something. Daniel Romano, who was the lead singer of Attack in Black, he has this cult solo country thing that he does now. He's nominated for something.
I didn't know he had a thing. That's cool. I want to hear that.
His Dan's solo stuff is the most straightforward country that you could, like, there's no level of irony in it. There's nothing, like, it's not post anything. It's not that kind of, like, revival tour guys who used to do punk bands are kind of, like, getting rootsy now. Like, no, it's like he is, like, embodied by the ghost of, like, Lee Hazelwood. And he, you know, is going to grow a big mustache and wear, like, you know, honky tonk clothes. And that's his thing now. And it's awesome.
Wow, that sounds great. I gotta get on that.
Yeah, so he had a record that came out that was nominated. And there was another one that I can't quite remember, but it was also good. Oh, AC Newman from the New Pornographers was nominated for something too. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Woo!
Yeah, so anyways, Pooza, there will be an article about that and an article about the Junos. So that's good. So, yeah, congrats to the flats there. We're going to do one more quick story here and then take a break. So this, I don't know how relevant this is to anyone that's not, like, super local to me, but people seem to talk about it on Punk News. So Toronto punk act Bathurst are calling it quits. They commented, "It's been fun, but we're just too old for this shit, and our time as a band has come to a close." The band is playing one final gig at Toronto's Sneaky D's Club on March 7th. It'll feature Careers in Science, Like Pacific, Brower, and Rosewater supporting. And the band is giving away exclusive copies of their LP, Bathurst, which I think is the only LP that they had, and people seem to like on Punk News, to the first 30 people in the door, along with, like, some silkscreen posters and stuff like that. And you can find more details in that, links to the show's, you know, RSVP page on Facebook or whatever you want to call it, on Punk News. You guys probably haven't heard this band. It's super local.
I have not.
Mondo.
Don't know.
Mondo's, like, not even paying attention.
I was like, what? Canadian band? I stopped caring.
What kind of stuff? How they've been around for a long time?
No, someone commented that, like, we're now posting breakups for bands that actually formed in this decade.
Yeah.
So, like, we've hit that point. So, yeah, they've only been around for a few years. I mean, they play the local festivals and stuff around here. So, like, I know them from there. They did kind of like a lifetimey kind of, like, melodic hardcore thing that was, you know, it wasn't super original, but it was fun. So that's they're out.
They're out of here.
So, okay, but before the break, talk to me about the What's the Ruckus thing.
Oh, well, okay, so we were home for a while, fake problems, and I'm just bored, and then I started getting depressed because I was so bored, and I was like, I should just start doing as much shit as I can think of to do. So the first thing that came to my head was I should just release a cover every week, because, you know, I didn't want to put out, like, original music, because I didn't want to, like, kind of blow the load on the fake problems upcoming release, and kind of, it would be so easy. It's just so easy to just cover a song and put it out every week. So I started doing that. I did it myself, like, the first three times, and then the Ruckus and I kind of decided it would be cool if Anthony, one of the journalists over there, did a little interview with me about each song. And so every week I put up the Ruckus puts up a cover I've done, and there's, like, a little interview there, and you can just stream it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm gonna keep doing that until April, and then I'm trying to figure out what if I want to do anything with the songs in any kind of physical capacity. It might be cool to do some kind of like record store thing, record store day thing, but I don't know.
I'd buy it.
Cool. We got one sale.
Hey, that's all you need.
Yep.
You know, I'll buy it. I'll write a review about it. The review will suck, but it'll say the record is good, and you'll be a millionaire.
Great.
You just got to realize that like records aren't your thing. T-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been wasting the past 10 years of my life trying to make music. I should just be making T-shirts.
Well, what you should do is make it a T-shirt, a 7-inch combo. The T-shirt comes with a free 7-inch. The T-shirt, also, the price of the T-shirt just also includes the money to cost of making the 7-inch.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, so do you have any covers in mind that you plan on doing in the future? Or like, are you kind of like, you want to surprise us?
I like it to be kind of like a surprise because most of the time I figure it out that week what I'm going to do. I have a list of songs I want to do, and a lot of them I haven't even gotten to yet because I just keep coming up with new ideas. And I like that kind of spontaneity of it too, that I can just kind of think of something to do, put it out there, and kind of get a reaction immediately. Because being in a band like Fake Problems, the way we operate, you kind of stack up songs and you keep them to yourself for so long that it like it makes me very anxious. So to be able to get stuff out there kind of quickly is pretty, it's a pretty good feeling.
That's good, you know. And they've been pretty good. The last one that came out, the Joy Division one, was really I almost cried. I was like, damn, Farron's bringing the goods.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm just putting it out there, Aquabats, and just saying, it should happen. Hopefully, my birthday is before March. I'm just saying.
All right, well, we're gonna take a break. Let's play something, Chris. What do you want to play? It can be a cover or a Fake Problem song or song, or what do you want to do?
Let's play the Joy Division song just to promo it. You know, people. Some people are like, oh yeah, the Joy Division song is really good.
Cool.
Can we?
Yeah, I can send it. Yeah, I can send it to you.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Like it's not actually Joy Division. Then we have a problem with copyrights.
Well, I don't want to, you know, if really people should be going to the Ruckus to check this out, then by all means, I'll point them that way. But
oh, yeah, you can. But yeah, I'll send you one. You can check it out.
Cool. Well, all right, then. So this is Chris Farron covering Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. And you can check out the this and more over at whattheruckus.com. So here we go.
When routine bites hard and ambitions are low and resentment rides high, but emotions won't grow, and we're changing our ways, taking different roads, then love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart again. The bedroom so cold, you've turned away on your side. Is my timing that flawed? Our respect runs so dry. Yet there's still this appeal that we've kept through our lives. But love will tear us apart again. Exposed,
And there's a taste in my mouth as desperation takes hold. Love, love will tear us apart again. Love, love will tear us apart again. Just that something so good just can't function no more. Just that something so good just can't function no more.
And we're back. So we're going to jump right into some other things that have gone on this past week that bear mentioning. First one is the death of actor and model Bobby Faust. Now, the cause of death was complications following a severe stroke last week. Now, Faust is going to be familiar to people in punk rock circles because he was the little person that adorned the cover of many releases by the Dwarves. In addition to being linked with the Dwarves, he was in several movies, including God Is On Our Side with David Johnson of the New York Dolls. So you can find more info on that on Punk News here. Now, because Johnny G has a line straight to Blag from the Dwarves, and we always get these great little Blag updates. Here's what he said. So Blag sent us a little comment. He said that Bobby Faust is gone. He was a wise man who didn't tether his thoughts to only this planet. He was a beautiful soul. I'll always remember him trying to keep his enormous white dog Boogie in check whenever the doorbell rang. Boogie would smother him in fur and affection as he screamed, "Boogie, Boogie!" And I would think that the song went, "Boogie, Oogie, Oogie, I just can't boogie no more." Bobby was a hero to me, an inspiration in these frightening times, but sadly, he will boogie no more. He's joined our friend Chris Wetzel and gone wherever the great ones go. I'm going to miss him. And that's from Black Dahlia of the Dwarves. So I guess there's not a lot of commentary on this one, but that's this was the memorial from the past week that we posted.
Sad.
Yeah, I mean...
But a nice little write-up.
Yes, I was. I'm not a huge Dwarves fan, but I know who the guy was, and you know, I'm assuming Blag, you know, must have had a great relationship to say such kind words about him. So you know, wherever he is, hopefully he's doing something
in heaven.
Fun.
He's in heaven.
Well, I was saying more so as like. You know, what if he's, like, in some cosmic rift, or, like, maybe he was reborn, or maybe he's now in an alternate dimension? You know, we don't know.
Get real. There is only heaven and hell.
Okay. Just because you're Mr. Lyricist over here. Is there a cotillion?
Very good.
Check and mate.
All right, theology aside, we had a bunch of media that we talked about this week that you guys should check out. So I'm going to run through them here, and then you guys can address them however you'd like. So first of all, we had a video from Chumped, the Brooklyn band. They had a music video for the song Something About Lemons off their self-titled release from last year. So you can find that, and it is a video. Also on the video front, we had a clip from Atlanta's The Wild for the song Dreams Are Maps. Now, this track was notably produced by Against Me's Laura Jane, so you can find that on Punk News as well. And then finally, Modern Baseball was streaming their new album, You're Gonna Miss It All, which is due out on February 11th, which is next week, I think, via Run for Cover Records. And you can find the stream for that over at Pitchfork. So those three batches of music... happened. I guess we got to mention, since Mondo's here and we have to acknowledge that he actually does things on Punk News, that Mondo, you interviewed Ian Farmer from Modern Baseball, right?
Yeah, I did that last interviewed him October, but it didn't go up till like November. But yeah, I did. Fun guy.
Yeah. So anyways, those three things happened. Anyone check any of this out?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually reviewing the record for Racket magazine, and so I've been listening to it for a while, and I'm writing my review on. I'm starting it this Friday, and it's great. I don't know if I love it more than the previous one, but I love it just as much.
And I love it. I love it as well. It's so good. I've had it. I'm a elite punk celebrity, so I've had it for quite some time, and I love it so much. They're great. They make me so happy. Just thinking about them makes me happy.
Yeah, you covered that one song, which is available at What's the Ruckus.
But, yeah.
but no, like it is definitely a solid record. They're doing that tour with the Wonder Years, or like first of like four or five. But I feel like this is gonna be good exposure for them. And you know what? Had Sports been released 2 months later than it was, I feel like it would have gotten a significant amount more buzz last year. And they just because they released it like around the weekend of Thanksgiving, and I was like, "What? You guys are crazy." But you know what? The point is, the buzz came whether it came late or not, and I could see them doing some big things. So hopefully, once this comes out, like the kids will be into it.
Definitely, yeah. We did a thing with them where they made a blanket of a picture of me.
Yes, and it's an excellent picture.
And then I made a blanket of the picture of them holding the blanket of the picture of me. So if you go on to the internet, you can check that out.
I haven't seen that second one. I'm on the internet right now. Is it on your Twitter?
It's on the Tumblr page.
It's on Tumblr and my Instagram.
Oh, okay. I'm heading to Instagram now.
Some sort of blanket inception situation going on. So yes. I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond.
That's going to be a tough one to follow up. I don't know if they can.
You could just keep going.
Yeah.
how does one make a blanket? Is there blanket
it's
printers?
It's the easiest thing in the world. It's $40 on Walmart.com.
Huh.
And you just upload a picture, any picture. That picture is just from Instagram, so it's not even a high quality photo. And boom. There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And
right
it was
now.
It took like a week, less than a week, I think, to get it.
Oh, there are so many good ways you could use that for mischief now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just thinking who needs a blanket and what needs to be on it.
I've got the perfect birthday present for you and for Derek.
Great.
It's going to be excellent.
So I've never actually heard Modern Baseball until this stream, and I really like this. It was good. We don't really have an insightful review or anything. I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to actually listening to this a lot.
And it has a lot of elements of things that I think we all like, but it doesn't you can't just pin it to that, you know? It's there's a little bit of the weaker thans and Say Anything kind of and the Menzingers, but it's not any of those things at all, you know? It's its own thing.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have heard this record without, I guess, having to go through the Pitchfork stream to do it, but do all Pitchfork streams do that weird video thing now?
I think so. I think when they
that, was that specific to Modern Baseball though, or is that just the thing that happens when you go to a stream now?
I'm not for sure, but I think each stream has its own kind of visual component.
Hmm. See, this is why these guys make the big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're riding around in their limousines and their hover cars and eating their beluga whale caviar. Do they have that? I don't know.
It's probably illegal.
Beluga whale caviar? I don't know.
Well, if it's illegal, that means that's a testament to how powerful they are. I mean, I'm pretty sure Pitchfork has the resources to get illegal food. I'm pretty sure they have tiger once a year or something.
I know somebody who ate a bald eagle.
Was it you?
No, I wish.
In what form?
In they cooked it and they ate it.
Like in the oven with carrots?
I can't tell you who.
Yeah, prepared. You can't tell us how they prepared it?
Oh, I don't know how they prepared it. I wasn't there. I just...
Can you find out?
I'll look into it, yeah.
Yeah, just tweet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because that's interesting, because I feel like if you were going to eat a bald eagle, I feel like the best way to do it would be like kind of like fried chicken style. And I feel like it's funny that that came to my mind.
Yeah, you're the vegan, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, I eat all sorts of stuff, and I'm not American, so I don't have any particular, you know, patriotic pass that I would give the bald eagle.
So if Chris Farron ate a wolverine, would you cry?
Well, they're rare, but like more apt would be like if Chris Farron
ate, well, so are
ate,
bald
like,
eagles.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, more apt would be like if you ate like a, I don't know, like a beaver or something. But
hey, now,
yeah.
So would you cry then if it was a beaver?
I don't think I would cry. So what I'm getting at here is that, like, I can't You're imagine heartless? That like. A bald eagle would be good eating.
Like, yeah, I think it's just I think it's just a power thing, really.
Yeah, like, is it not like it's a carnivorous animal, so it's got to be like a big muscular and therefore like not full of delicious fat thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't me. I'm not like trying to play it off like it was me, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
But you wished it was you.
I wished it was me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, there's genuine envy. I can feel it in your voice. Like you're that's probably why you got so depressed earlier. So much you didn't get to be the one to eat the bald eagle, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
And you know who is glad you didn't? The
Morrissey.
Vegan. Besides Morrissey, the vegans hate Chris Farron account on Twitter.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Do you know who started that? Do you know who runs that?
No, I don't. I have some ideas or thoughts, speculations, but I really, truly don't know.
Oh, who do you think runs it?
I think it might be one of these ruckus guys, to be honest, but I don't know. I think it's somebody I know. I hope.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it's not somebody that just really does hate me and thinks I'm like an animal killer.
Well, I mean, you kind of are an animal killer. Killing those ladies left and right.
Thank you.
Yes, but
I never killed anyone. By the way, just to clarify that.
Yeah, that's we got to make sure.
let's talk about the actual Chumped video, because you mentioned that we never said anything. I just watched it before we started all this hubbub, and I have to say I really like it. I feel like the best part of the video is the part where the lead singer is washing her hair, because I feel like not enough punks take proper hygiene into consideration when going out, or most people really, because every time I go somewhere there's always a bunch of stinky people. And so seeing Chumped being pro cleanliness and not smelling in the punk scene is, I feel, very big and important.
Love it.
That video was super, super fun too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was dancing and wishing I had. I wanted to wash my hair, but I had just taken a shower. I really did, and I know. I'm actually being serious about this. I don't know. I really like washing my hair.
Great.
I'm gonna go do it after this interview.
Cool. You probably should.
Okay. And what was the other piece of media?
The Wild, which was also a fun video and also something I haven't actually heard before because I don't actually listen to music. But
you're a dad and you're old and you're boring.
I know. But yeah, that was also quite cool. What was it? What release was the Wild songs? What was that from?
That was
recent?
It was from their album last year. It came out. It came out like in like spring or summer of last year. I have it on my my computer somewhere. I'm actually trying to find it right now on iTunes. But yeah, it's like All Our Dreams Are Something, or I don't know, something inspirational and cheesy and folk punky.
Yeah, they're a good band. I saw them last time I was in New York. I was hanging out with Jeff Rosenstock again. No big deal. And Kudrow played a show with them and at some DIY place, and they were awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, the record is called Dreams or Maps, which is also the name of the song in the video. It came out, I don't know, last year at some point.
October-ish, yeah. And Laura produced that whole record.
Yes.
Yeah, she did the whole record, and then Mike Park put it out. It was good stuff. And but no, I actually saw The Wild this few weeks ago, opening up for You Blew It and The Front Bottoms. Good times.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, we were actually we were talking about you for a little bit, Mr. Handsome.
Me?
Yeah.
What'd you say? What did they say?
Well, part of it was because I was like, Tanner looked familiar, and then I didn't know why, and then it hit me, and I said, you know, like, did I stay at your house like during the Fake Problems tour? And then he was like, yeah, you totally did. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, I like you. You're a nice guy. And then we started talking about how they met Evan from Intuit over it. And they're like, oh, Fake Problems tour. And, you know, so like, you know, he was buds to far buds. And then we became buds. And then we just talked about, you know, it was nice. You know, if it weren't for you guys, they wouldn't have met Evan. If they wouldn't have met Evan, they wouldn't have made such like great record and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. They owe it all to us.
they do. You know, like if
they
like,
would,
you know,
they're an amazing band no matter what. But yeah, the record they made with Derek's really great as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one, every record they made, if anybody, is great.
Yeah, they're great. Brock.
All right, well, you know what? We'll play a song from The Wild at the end of the show here because, you know, quote unquote hasn't tried to sue us yet, so we can do that. I feel like that before we wrap everything up, we should at least make mention of the Chris Farren Super Bowl tweet.
We should.
Now, is this something that you're comfortable talking about in public? Hello? I think he dropped the call.
Yeah, he might have.
He ran away at mention of the Chris Farren Super Bowl tweet.
Oh, he said help. He needs to be reconnected.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if we can do this here. Okay, adding Chris Farren.
Oh my God, what a terrible thing.
You know what the best part is? What was the last thing you heard?
You said something about quote unquote.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. So we then said okay. We should probably talk about the Chris Farren Super Bowl tweet, and then you vanished like it was like it was so mysterious that you were comfortable addressing it in public.
But the best part is you said, "Are you okay with speaking about that in public?" And then
you were gone.
And we were like, "I guess not."
I can speak a little bit about it.
So are you okay to speak about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this year better than the prior?
In terms of.
In terms of how it felt to you.
In terms of how it felt, it
as the
was,
artist.
It was, I had a legitimate amount of anxiety about it. Like I was like kind of freaking out at one point because I was like, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this? And last year I did it and it was kind of like just a little funny thing. But this year it kind of, I mean, it didn't go like crazy, but it was pretty nuts. And of people seemed to be really anxious to see what it would be, and then I in the end I think I delivered.
Did you get any reaction from people that like do not get the absurdity of it, and that like after all the build up we're just like
that's what I figured was about to happen, because it had been kind of retweeted by a bunch of my friends in bigger bands, and I thought people are going to think, oh, this is going to be like some sort of like announcement about Fake Problems or something like an actual thing. But no, everybody seemed to be really, really pleased with the results.
I was into it. It was very Farren and Super Bowl related. So my expectations were met.
Yeah. And you know, this is not something that has ever happened to me before. I got like 200 retweets in 1 minute. I've tweeted it and then I refreshed it and it had been retweeted like so many times. So it was,
you're just having wild success with the internet. You should sell your, you know, your services to people trying to market products.
I know. I want to be like a Taco Bell Twitter guy or Denny's or something like that. You know, they have all these corporate Twitter accounts. I feel like I could really bring something to the table.
Well, I mean, you already have a connects at Taco Bell. You need to make that happen.
Yeah, but I the girl who runs the Twitter, I'm want to put her out of the job.
Tell her you just want to be her assistant. That way she still has a job, and then you have a job.
Yeah.
You know? Like that's
like a low title to have. The assistant to the Twitter account manager of Taco Bell.
Well, you know what? Usually it's not just the Twitter manager. They're like the head of social media. So they
right,
do like...
Right.
You know, so, you know, your assistant director of social media, you have to think about linguistics here, man. You know,
yeah.
Boom.
But so, yeah, the Super Bowl tweet, it ended up being my greatest success on the internet since, before the shirt, since Fessy, really.
You know, Taco Bell could just, you know, have you curate their Twitter feed for, you know, for a week or something. Like,
yeah.
Sweden, like the country... actually does that. Like every week they give the @Sweden account to a different person.
Yeah.
And it just becomes like whatever that particular Swede is doing in the world. So in the same way, Taco Bell should just give Taco Bell to you.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like it.
Taco Bell's going to give the company to him.
Well, however much of the assets they're, you know, okay to let go.
Yeah. I like it. I'm down. Or at least let me take over their Instagram account for a couple days or something. I'm always so jealous when bands do that to, like, you know, like punk websites or whatever. I want to do that.
You know, they should have done that the day we were at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, here's fake problems in the test kitchen, eating more food than they want.
Yeah, that was cool. That was one of the best days of my life.
That was one of the best days of my life.
Yeah, we got to go to Taco Bell headquarters for their 50th birthday anniversary thing. And we Fake Problems played like stripped down. It was just Fake Problems, stripped down acoustic, and a mariachi band. And we played for like a bunch of like shareholders for Taco Bell. Maybe this isn't something I should bring up on the Punk News podcast, I'm realizing, but it was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. You know what? You know what's funny too is that was a hard act to follow. Those mariachis are really good.
I know,
but you did it. It was tough though. It would have been a lot easier if you guys all had matching uniforms like them.
That's true.
Because that's part of the that's part of like the key power of mariachis, and the same thing with ska bands. It's the matching outfits.
Hey, I have a question, Armando.
What's
that? Be able to help me get to the bottom of the. Okay, so I think this year it's really come to a head, this kind of cultural appropriation and how that's kind of not a cool thing to do, right? That's basically been like mostly a new thing. So does that mean Mariachi El Bronx is like their career just over?
No, you know what? It's funny because I personally wouldn't attribute cultural appropriation to Mariachi El Bronx, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, they said, hey, like we love this music. We listen to this music. Like mariachi music in itself is, I feel like it has become very integral to Southern California. And it's right. A whole aesthetic, regardless of what your nationality is or where you come from. In fact, I understand like very well like why people get upset at cultural appropriation, and I do believe it to be a real thing. But I don't think in the case of Mariachi El Bronx, or even in the other case, there's a heavy metal cover band that does mariachi cover of metal songs called Metalachi. I don't really find that to be cultural appropriation. You know, they're paying homage to a music that they genuinely love. They, you know, they even say like, you know, like these are our influences. This is where we hear it. Here are the stations. If you want to hear more, you know, they're trying to share it. You know, share their love.
Cool. Well, good.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of things.
We did
eating eagles. That's all I can really remember. So okay. So I guess we'll let's play a song off this record by the Wild here. To kill things. So let's play
the single that is the music video. That way people can be like, oh, this song is awesome, and then they check out the whole record.
Okay, so this is going to be Dreams or Maps from the Wild. If you want this thing on a physical copy, you can get it from Asian Man. If you want to grab a donation-based download, you can get it from Quote Unquote. And some other label has a CD available of it, and I can't recall off the top of my head who that is for you people who want CDs of things. So, yeah, so this is Dreams or Maps by the Wild. That's it for this week. Thanks, Armando and Mr. Chris Farron of Fake Problems for joining me and talking about stuff. Thank you to Sound Guy Nariman for putting the show together every week. Thanks to Nightbirds for giving us the theme music for the song. If you want to email us, it's podcast@punknews.org. Anything that has been said on this show is the property. It's not.
It's the opinions of the.
Yeah. Don't lump it on Punk News Corporate because they don't. Vouch for what we say. Chris, where can people find stuff that you're involved in on the internet?
To stay the most up to date with me, you could go to twitter.com/Chris Farron. I also have a Tumblr, chrisfarron.com will take you there. Instagram, Christopher Farron, problems.com, problems on Twitter. That's pretty much it.
There you go. That's a whole bookmark bar worth of Chris Farron that you could have. So, yeah. All right, that's it. We'll see everyone in 7 days.
Bye-bye. All right. Later, everybody.